From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. A new development in the investigation of Seung-Hui Cho, the student-turned-gunman who killed 32 people at Virginia Tech before killing himself. NBC said today that it received writing and images from Cho. Law enforcement officials say that a timestamp on the package shows it was mailed in the 2 hours between the shootings on campus. NBC called Cho's writing a lengthy diatribe. The package, addressed to the president of NBC News, was turned over to the FBI.
And there were more new details today. Cho was twice accused of stalking female students in late 2005, though no charges were filed. An acquaintance told campus police that he believed Cho was suicidal, and Cho agreed to speak to a counselor. NPR has obtained a document filed in December 2005 with the Montgomery County, Virginia Magistrate's Office. It shows that Cho was involuntarily committed to a mental institution, and it shows that he was classified as an imminent danger to himself or others.
Our co-host Melissa Block is in Blacksburg, Virginia, and today she talked with a Virginia Tech student who was in one of the classrooms that was attacked. He has not told his story publicly before.
Clay Violand is okay. He wasn't shot. And that's astonishing, given what happened to those all around him in his French class. Today, at his home off campus, friends came by to say hello and exchange big hugs of relief.
Hey, Katie.
How are you?
What's up?
No, It's good to see you.
Clay Violand is 20, a junior, majoring in international studies. He's slim, with a beard and light brown hair that falls over his face. I talked with him in the bedroom of the house he shares off campus about what happened on Monday and what's happened since. Clay was sitting in his French class on the second floor of Norris Hall. He had biked to school, and because it was so windy that day, it slowed him down. He was late, so he wound up in the back row. He figures 15 or 20 students were in class that morning. Around 9:30, they started hearing sounds. They thought it was construction, realized it was gunshots, and called 911.
And the next thing I know, there's like this gun coming through the door, followed by a man. I catch a glimpse of him, and he's like an Asian man. I thought he looked like a student. He looked younger, and he had a utility belt kind of on for ammo and stuff. And I just kind of dove under a desk and kind of prepared to die, I guess. And he just started picking people off with the gun. I kind of heard it more than I saw, but I just kind of expected, like, after every bullet, I just prepared myself for the hit, you know? But it never came for me. And then he left the room, and the room was pretty silent except for, like, some sounds, some cries, and some pretty gruesome sounds. And I told everybody to stay quiet and play dead. I remember saying that, especially to this girl that was next to me. She kept crying for a friend, and I said, please, you know, I just told her to stay quiet and play dead, you know. And then the gunman came back. He just started shooting again, and I'm assuming he just unloaded another round into everybody, even who had already been shot. And I think he must have unloaded like 3 rounds because he stopped, I think, to reload, and then he'd do it again. And I just never got hit. And at the end of it, when the cops came, I think they said, if you can get up, get up and put your hands up. And I was the only one initially to get up. And then this girl next to me got up too. She had gotten shot in the back, but I think she's okay. I'm not sure yet. But she walked out with me.
Do you have any idea how it was that you were not hit? Was it you were under a desk?
I was under a desk. I have no idea. He shot the person to my left and to my right, and he didn't shoot me. I don't understand. There's a possibility he didn't see me or something, but I doubt it. Maybe just in the chaos of the moment, he just skipped over me or something. I don't know. But he skipped over me repeatedly, which is what I don't get, you know?
When you got up, Clay, to leave that room, and you were seeing what had happened for the first time, can you describe that?
I didn't look around when I got up. Kept my eyes fixed on the police, and I was just in amazement. I don't remember looking around at the room when I got up, but I remember putting my hands up and asking them if I had gotten shot. I didn't know what it felt like, really. I remember assuming I got shot at one point and remember thinking, this really doesn't hurt so bad, you know? And the girl I was with, who was really brave, she didn't cry the whole time, and I know she got shot in the back, and I was looking at her in the eyes most of the time when we were under those desks, like, just kind of staying human, you know? I don't even know her name, actually, but I didn't talk to her much in class, but we just kept eye contact a lot of the time, and they sat her down and looked at her gunshot wound, and I remember they said it's superficial or something, and she'll be okay, and I was just really glad to hear that, and I gave her a hug.
Clay Violand thinks he was the only one in his class to emerge unscathed. He talked to police, made his way to a phone, and called his mother, Sandy, in the Washington, D.C. suburbs. His first words, "I'm okay." She called her husband, Chuck Violand, and soon he was in a car speeding the more than 250 miles to Blacksburg to see his son.
I took off. I got down to Virginia Tech. I got down here in an hour less time than I normally would, and I burst into the room here. Clay was, you know, obviously surrounded by, there were incredible numbers of people here. I burst in and gave him a hug, and that's the experience. It was just unbelievable. And it's been several days of just comfort and sorrow and support and emotion and happiness and sadness. It's indescribable.
Clay, you chose to stay here these last couple of days instead of going home. Why is that?
I know if I go home and I don't have much to do, I'll just be thinking about this, you know? I really want to be here because I think it is important for me to talk to parents who had kids in my class. It's really therapeutic for me as well. I just want to be surrounded by this right now. I mean, it happened. I don't want to forget about it right now, and I want to deal with it and help people deal with it. And I wouldn't expect that a person in my position would feel like that, but I do.
Clay and Chuck, too, have you been getting any help? Have you been getting any counseling?
Yeah, I met a really nice woman who I'm going to see on Thursday. I'm still kind of in shock, kind of a little numb or something, and the emotions haven't hit me in full yet, but I'm pretty aware that in time I'm going to need some help. It's going to be hard to walk away from this completely stable, I think, but I think I'm strong enough to be able to get over it. I'm going to make a point to become close friends with all the survivors.
Chuck, what about you? Have you been talking with anyone about this?
I'm not going to think about what I need at this point, but I think, I've been talking with Sandy. I call her every couple hours, and we cry and talk, and we'll get through it. I think, you know, we're going to look to Clay for strength here. He's the guy to give it to us, I think.
What happens now? What are you going to do, Clay?
I want to deal with this as long as I have to deal with it. I don't want to cut it short, you know, and just try to move on right away. I want to deal with this and help people who are dealing with it. And I would really like to get back to my normal life. That's the healthiest thing for me to do.
So when classes resume, you'll be going back to class?
I haven't decided that yet.
Do you know what your plans are for the summer?
I was planning to stay here and take classes and work. I think I'll still do that.
Still figuring that out.
Yeah, it's a little frightening to be here, you know, 2 days after the incident, so I'm just a little paranoid, and I think that's expected, though. I think I'll lighten up a little bit over time, and I still love the town so much, and I think I love the people here even more now.
Clay Violand's mother will join them here in Blacksburg tomorrow. Clay's younger sister has wanted to come to college here, too, and her father says that's still the plan. There is no safe place, Chuck Violand says. And if anything, the outpouring of support they've seen here this week has only made them appreciate Virginia Tech more. I'm Melissa Block in Blacksburg, Virginia.